Dimay Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music by Portland musician and composer Cynthia Stillman Gurdes. Find out more at cynthiastillmangurdes.com. On this first show of Women's History Month, we're going to highlight a play about the first expedition of the Green and Colorado Rivers and the Grand Canyon. It's being performed with an all-female cast. Yay! Third Rail Repertory Theater just opened Men on Boats by Jacqueline Backhouse. We'll talk with director Maureen Porter and actors Josie Seed and Jennifer Lenier about this comedic and adventurous play about a cis male historic expedition that breaks gender and racial traditions. So stay tuned. A very special show. Looking forward to this. This is Stage and Studio. Very elegant music to talk about. Men on Boats! I'm Tim A. Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio are director and artistic director Maureen Porter of Third Rail Repertory Theater. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you. And here with her are actors Josie Seed. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I believe
much.
This is your first time on Stage and Studio.
It is. I'm going to kill it.
I am so thrilled to have you here. You are. And Jennifer Lanier, this is your second or third perhaps
Oh, I
time.
Think maybe third time.
Yeah.
On this. Yes.
It's been a while. Though,
it
Jennifer.
Has been. A bit.
And it's good to see you. Welcome back.
Nice to see you.
They're all from the production of Men on Boats by Jacqueline Backhouse, which is running at Third Rail Repertory Theater till March 24th. Welcome all to Stage and Studio.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Woo. I just love this subject. During 3 months in the summer of 1869, American naturalist John Wesley Powell led a scientific investigation to map the Green and Colorado Rivers. It was the first recorded passage of white men through the entirety of the Grand Canyon. Yeah. Many years later, playwright Jacqueline Backhouse, who was raised in Arizona, was combing through Powell's journals. And she had heard about this explorer during her childhood and younger years, and then decided to write a play, Men on Boats. Maureen, when did you first hear about this play, and when did Third Rail in general hear about this play?
Well, I first read about it. I can't remember what exactly when it was, but I read about it in the Times, a review of it. And then one of our Third Rail patrons, who's been knows us well, actually saw it, the Clubbed Thumb production, Ginny Cooper. Shout out to Ginny Cooper, and sent me the program and some additional information. And so I became interested in it for a whole lot of reasons. My background in New York, I was part of a company called the Queen's Company, and the tagline was all female, all the time, no apologies. And we did classical works with a really diverse array of women. And I loved that was really foundational in terms of my work as an artist and a performer. And in coming to Portland, there was always a part of me that wanted to do some work that was inclusive in that way and that allowed a kind of heroism and playfulness and the size and shape that this text allows for. So I read it, and we did a reading of it at Third Rail with some of our patrons in a salon setting. And then here it is.
how long ago was that?
We did the reading last year, about a little over a year ago,
okay.
When we were looking for season.
All right.
Things for this year.
I'll ask you more about that later on, but I think there's something very freeing about having an all-female cast and a female director. I remember back in the day I was in an all-female Taming of the Shrew, mm-hmm. and even the smallest role had a lot more than a lot of the female leads in Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And it's done a lot, though. Classical plays are done more maybe all-female, but when you look at contemporary plays, especially ones that are supposed to be about men, having right. female cast is pretty momentous. And it really struck me the moment I heard about this play and also just saw the wonderful production photos that you did in a river. You were soaking up to your knees in water and you were so joyous, you know?
Oh, yes.
Feel the joy. There were many things felt that day.
I'm sure it was all acting, but it was a beautiful photo, Jennifer and Josie. I mean, that it was really incredible. Is. What was that day like, taking that photo in the river?
Oh, it was an absolute delight, really. I mean, trying to balance on top of this, I guess it was a giant paddle board. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there were eight of us trying to find our balance on this. And there was the moment where we did lose it.
And that water is cold.
It's cold. Yeah,
it is. What time of the year was it?
Summerish.
Okay.
It was summer, so it wasn't too bad. Yeah. It wasn't too bad. And actually, the giant laugh that came out of that fall, I think, was a harbinger of what was going to come with this show. Because it's difficult and exciting work and also just a ridiculous amount of fun.
Yeah. It looked like it, but it also looked like it would have taken a lot out of you, too. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. I'm talking with Artistic Director and Director Maureen Porter of Third Rail Repertory Theater and actors Jennifer Lanier and Josie Seed. And if you missed any of the show so far, you can hear the podcast at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You know, these historical narratives about epic journeys of American explorers in the West are generally told from a white male perspective. So really, Men on Boats, Maureen, turns this all around with an all-female cast.
Right. Well, I think Jacqueline Backus was definitely interested in that very thing. Her notes on casting say something like, these stories are historically told by white cisgender males, and the cast should be made up entirely of people who are not. And it invites this incredibly beautiful thing, which is to demand that a different lens be brought to our history, to our shared cultural narratives, and for me, just the simple act of doing that really allows creates a space between how we think about history, how the construct of gender is applied to that history, how that history is gendered, and allows us to really consider a new version. And it's this play is I love to describe it as gleefully subversive, in that there is a great deal of fun and play to be had in it. But just the simple act, in a way, of saying this must be told with different voices, different people than historically is true, just does something incredibly powerful for me, and that was of great interest.
And certainly, I mean, I call to my memory Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea, and how she was really the first female explorer, American West. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's talk about this epic hero's journey. And, you know, often women, and certainly women of color, are left out of that narrative. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what it's like for you, Jennifer and Josie, what it's like to be in a show that is about 10 explorers mapping the Grand Canyon, of all things. Did you ever think you'd be doing that?
You know, it never really came into my mind that this was something that I might get a chance to do. Of course, when the opportunity presented itself, I leapt upon that. I mean, my gosh, the idea of being able to walk in those shoes, to walk in the shoes of the people that, you know, as a little kid, I would pretend to be. You know, I mean, some of my girlfriends were doing, you know, Cinderella stuff and super cool stuff like that, and playing with Barbies. And I had my G.I. Joe things and my little cousins, little soldier people. And I was an explorer. I think I did a lot of outer space exploring in my backyard.
You know,
I think we had the same
childhood.
Yeah.
I would take Barbie and just, like, you know, do like all these adventurous things instead.
Yeah, we had a Jane West doll. She was a cowgirl doll, and I remember she was cool because she wore pants, and I was like, oh, I can get behind this.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Josie?
You know, I did not think, because I was not really a very outside adventurous kind of child, but I swear when I heard about it and read it, the first thing I thought about was Sacagawea, and I was like, oh, that's my girl. Right. And I was like, maybe we can get up in here and kind of see what her journey was. And I think that's something that's really interesting and important about this play, is that it is really about perceptions. Right. And who's telling the story, because that's going to have an effect on who the heroes and the villains are.
Yeah, it certainly does. And it certainly, especially for children growing up, you know, you want to think of yourself as a hero.
Right.
You know, and especially an adventurous hero, like on men on boats.
Absolutely.
You know, you know, women also are left out of sort of buddy adventures.
Yeah.
You know, just the buddy picture is usually, I mean, now it's changing a little bit with women, but, you know, it's still usually.
But still, if you look at the numbers, the numbers are incredibly skewed. Yeah, you know, guys get to be friends. Women get to be
love
the girl.
Or best, you know, friend,
the mean boss, or in my case, the FBI agent. I mean,
part of the journey is always, you know, always has somebody trying to get a man. And I love that nobody up in here is trying to find somebody to be in love with. It's so freeing.
Well, you got a river and you could die. So, you know.
There are a few other things to think about.
That's the last thing that you want to think about.
It's true. And the relationships of these men are pretty fun to get inside and to play with and to see, you know, just what happens, who you can trust, who you feel like, because you're trusting your life to this group of people, and the journey of the play, there are different relationships and they change and they move and trust shifts, and it's, well, I keep saying the word fun because it is, because this isn't something we get to sink our teeth into very much as women actors, and certainly as women of color actors, you know.
It's so fun. I mean, to even think about being able to do something like this. Tell us about your characters, Jennifer. Who do you play?
Oh, I play Major John Wesley Powell, the leader of the expedition. yes, who is kind of a wild guy. I mean, he has some ideas about what he wants to do and how he wants things to go. And he's very excited about all of this and very focused on trying to lead well. He also is a guy who has one arm. He lost his right arm during the Civil War. And working a character
with a disability.
That, is
I didn't
of course, very
that.
Interesting. Yeah.
And that's not even in the Wikipedia page, I don't think.
Oh.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, it is a fun, I mean, not fun, it's an intriguing problem to work through, you know, as an actor, and to think about, you know, being out on a river and not having that other arm to be able to use to hold on to.
Right, right. And that's incredible. Josie, who's your character?
I play O.G. Howland. I am one of a set of brothers. Seneca is my other brother. Shout out Anya Pearson. She's my sister brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And kind of a tough guy. I feel like he's got some good heart in there. Very watchful. Pays attention, kind of spiritual, paying attention to the signs. But he'll get up in your face. It'll be a rumble if you get too close to OG wrong.
Oh, wow. So. You know, I know, Jennifer, you've played a cis male before, right?
Oh, sure.
In plays. But,
my
you know,
goodness, yes.
There's a difference when you start thinking about how men walk or
absolutely.
How men take up space. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that, because I found that in doing Tammy the Shrew, how, you know, they just take up
oh,
so
absolutely.
Much more.
Oh, absolutely. That is a piece to take in, because as women, we don't even think about it. I mean, even the butchest women will still find a way to make ourselves a little bit smaller, and particularly when we come in to a space where there are men, we find ourselves doing that because we've just been inculcated to that just so deeply. So opening oneself up. I mean, just watching the women in the cast while we were working and seeing people, you know, doing that man spread with our legs, right? And great big gestures and people lifting their centers up so much more. And then we would go in for notes and suddenly everybody's back to, you know, kind of closing
covering.
In. I just kept watching
that's
that
so
all through. It was fascinating to see. And it is, I have to say, it is absolutely freeing to just take up that space in a theater and not be afraid that someone's going to tell me, can you kind of bring it in a little bit?
Can you be more ladylike? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Josie?
Yeah, you know, all of that Jennifer said, but also it was really interesting because as we went through the work and we did, you know, make yourself big, spread yourself out, hold yourself up, we dove down a little bit into the female part of why we do try to make ourselves small, right? And how we would pull each other close. You know, and in theater, if you're too close, you can't see anything, right? So we were always like, spread it out, push it back. If you're going to reach from for somebody, lean back and reach out, whereas women want to gather in. And that was just some really interesting psychology to dig into. It has changed the way that I carry myself. It's so funny. I have a very specific, come see the show, my man swagger is notable. And I have found myself, like, at night when I'm going to my car, I put that man swagger on. And I'm like, bring it. If anybody wants anything I got, bring it.
Oh, God. I have to see that. I'm Demi Roberts, stage and studio. My guests are actors Josie Seed and Jennifer Lanier, and artistic director and director Maureen Porter of Third Rail Repertory Theater. And they just opened the production of Men on Boats by Jacqueline Backus. And it's about a true story of 10 male explorers who are mapping the Colorado River in 1869, all played by women. The show opened last weekend, runs through March 24th, Thursday through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. All shows are at Imago Theater. It's located just across the street, folks, from KBOO at 17 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. For tickets, you can call 503-235-1101 or find out more about at thirdrailrep.org. And you can get all that info as well as photos and links and our podcast at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. I also, Maureen, I want to bring you back into this to talk about the research and all that you had to, and also just working with this great cast of women, half of which are women of color, aren't they? Or are there more than half?
Not quite half, no. We are about 6 and 4 of the 10. And it is an amazing cast of people, and the play actually asks also for non-binary gender expression, all kinds of things, and I think we have a nice rich diversity in that way. It's amazing, courageous. I use the word repeatedly for this group of people, generous, like just incredibly generous. This is an enormous thing to stage the going down the Green and Colorado Rivers on stage. It's this sort of impossible, exquisite challenge, and it couldn't be possible without the absolute joy and generosity the cast ensemble brings. I loved being in the room with them. I love watching them. So,
well, yeah. How do you stage an epic journey on a boat?
Well, right, yeah, that's a good question.
You get really strong abs.
Yeah,
that's right. We actually did.
It's a lot of physical work, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It is enormously physical. We brought some great people in. Jessica Wallenfels, big shout out there, came in to work with us on some basic movement and lift things that we could work with. Jamie Flynn, who is a local performer and marvelous person who has a background in partner acrobatics. They helped us enormously through the process. And Rebecca Lingefelter, a brilliant artist in her own right in many ways, did Viewpoints work with us. So we started laying down a foundation that we could work with. And then the group really composed. It was a collaborative effort, and we worked with ways that our bodies could take the shape that was needed. We also asked the design team. The design team is brilliant.
And they're largely female design team, too.
We have Mark Valadez, sound designer, was one of our male folks, but predominantly Kate Blankenship did scenic design, Emily Wilkin on props, and Jen, the ever-brilliant Jen Lin, on lights. And that group really helped us to shape and form and define many of the moments that the ensemble created beautiful physical vocabulary, and then the designers helped to really sculpt it. And so you do it collaboratively. You do it with a tribe of people looking to make the most of this opportunity. And that's really how you do it.
Oh, wow. Well, that's an incredible effort there. And I'm just wondering, what kind of adventures do the actors and Men on Boats have?
Well, I say that it was based broadly, right, on the tales of John Wesley Powell, because Jacqueline Backus it's not a historical retelling, but it is based on this journey. And it was absolutely harrowing what they went through. They go down, those folks and the cast talked a lot about this, is what does it mean to enter the entirely unknown? That is something that we don't really know any longer. We don't experience that. So they go down the rivers. They face various size of rapids. They learn how to deal with those things in the moment. They lose food provisions. People go overboard and are underwater for extended periods of time. They face the troubles of the land. I won't give it away. Frightening things that can take them, take their lives on the land.
I mean, it's a dangerous expedition.
It is dangerous. Yeah. And they also have like this underline, as time goes by and the strain of the trip begins to take its toll, there is a way in which they become, there are tensions that rise in terms of the leadership and who is, who trusts who and where are the alliances, and then coming back together in a kind of profound fraternity to face the thing ahead, which in this case is the river. Mm. It's compelling.
It's so intriguing, the whole concept and how you're talking about it. Now, I know that you said that you started thinking about this a year ago, but Third Rail Rep is actually one of the few that I know about, and I get a lot of press releases of theater companies that actually have scheduled a play that so prominently features women during Women's History Month. And so I applaud that. I also can't help but wonder, if during the rehearsal process and the more recent focus on Me Too and Time's Up has had an effect of some sort during the rehearsal process and in your discussions?
Absolutely. I mean, these are the issues that get brought up. I mean, these are things that you start talking about, and when you get a group of women together, I mean, you can't help it, and the stories begin. And every one of us in that room has some stories about harassment, has some stories about things that we've experienced in the theater that are horrifying, actually, if you tell them out loud to folks who have
And this
no
is
idea.
In theater itself?
Of course, in the world of theater.
And I don't think we've talked about that much in the world of theater.
We haven't. Yeah. We haven't so much, but it exists, and it exists right here in Portland.
Of course it does.
And those stories get exchanged, and that's part of that, too, is the bonding that happens with us when you have a show like this, a show where you're really asking people to dive deep, like Josie was talking about, to really dive deep into some of the feelings and the way of coming together. That's I don't know. It's just not asked of us in many places. So yeah, we did get into talking about that. I don't know about how do you
Josie,
feel
do you
about
have any
how
thoughts?
It informed what we were doing.
It was so empowering, right? Because I feel like in theater, a lot of times females are kind of a second thought. It's not, even if it's a play about women, women are used as a vehicle to tell the stories of the men. And I found the conversations that we had around doing this work to be empowering, because we didn't have to dig into that layer of how do we do this as females and not offend anybody, right? How do we use our voices and not speak loudly enough to cause anyone alarm? So that was brilliant for me personally.
And not to be branded difficult.
Yeah.
D
right.
stands for difficult, as I know.
Well, sure. And all the time in the theater. I mean, I know that my colleagues have experienced this too, because we've all talked about it. But this idea of an assertive woman on stage, a woman who's really taking up some space and who's saying no.
It's shocking still to people.
It is. It is. Yeah. And what's really terrific is that we've had a couple of talkbacks so far with folks in the audience. And it's so exciting to listen to older women in the audience, and by older I mean older than me, so which makes them very old, so them talking about, wow, seeing you all doing that,
yeah,
that just makes me feel so good.
Yeah. You know? I also love the fact that, like, Stephanie Gaslin, who's a founding company member of Third Rail Repertory Theater, her 10-year-old son, the first show he's ever seen at Third Rail is Men on Boats. And what he got to see is his mom play this remarkable character
who
happens to be male.
It's important for men to see this of women.
Exactly. Yes. And and that gender, reminding us all that gender is a construct. We're not trying to hide that these actors are women, where the characters are men, and that gender is a construct. So we take from these cues, societal cues to create male characters, and that both coexist. There's this kind of wonderful fluidity and permeable quality to that that we can, you know, take on consciously and interrogate a little bit.
Did you all have a chance to see Frances McDormand's acceptance speech at the Oscars, where she had all the women who were nominated stand up in the audience? It wasn't a lot of women, for one thing, but it was a great moment. Yeah. And then at the very end, she said, inclusion writer.
Yes.
And I actually had to look that up because I didn't know. A lot of people did. And it is so awesome. It's the brainchild of Stacey L. Smith, professor of USC Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism. Their research centers on underrepresentation of women and people of color in media. Now, the inclusion rider is language that actors can put in their contracts to ensure there's a certain amount of diversity in the production. And I wonder if theater should have that, you know?
Right.
I don't know how, but, you know, it would be good. I mean, who has enough clout to make that happen? But,
right.
Or well, theater should just take it on in general.
Yeah.
I think that that's a completely reasonable thing. And I'm hoping that this particular production is going to encourage other folks in theaters around town to remember that you really don't have to be hamstrung by what's always been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I could talk about this more, but we're running out of time. I do want to give another shout out to Men on Boats, Jacqueline Backus. Show runs March 24th, Thursday through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. Imago Theater, located at 17 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. It is a Third Rail Repertory production. Tickets, call 503-235-1101 or thirdrailrep.org. And all that info at stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Maureen, in the time remaining, we won't be able to talk about it, but you've got a show coming up called Revolt, She Said, Revolt Again, Alice Birch, running May 25th through June 16th. Maureen Porter, Josie Seed, and Jennifer Lanier, thank you so much for this engaging and lively talk. I could talk to you for hours.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah. So hear the show again at stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Like us on facebook.com/stageletterandstudio. Tweet me at stageletterandstudio. Subscribe to the podcast at iTunes. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. Let's go out with more music by Portland musician-composer Cynthia Stillman Gurdes. Find out more at cynthiastillmangurdes.com.